So the discipline of thanksgiving helps us and trains our eyes to recognize that God is always blessing us. And the discipline of worship trains our eyes to see God, who he is, his character and his life at work in our lives. So it's a good discipline. It's a good discipline. So just the image up there reminds us that what we're preaching here today is similar in every church in Durban at the moment. On my knees is the theme, devotedly serving God. And although a lot of the churches use it from John chapter 13, where Jesus bowed down and served the disciples, and he said, if you're my disciples, do the same. Do as I've done. Do this. Live in this manner. As a life and devote servitude on your knees to the others. But as I was praying and thinking about this week, from beginning into end, in reflection a few times in the week, I was just aware of people praying for me, me being encouraged to pray for people. Very simple. And I was surprised. I got a message from one of the elders in the week. Simple, pure-hearted. She prayed for me this morning again. And she just felt this scripture. And she gave me a psalm, which I know of by heart, but it moved me. It moved me to think, wow, someone was invited by God, prompted by God, and that person took time out of their day to sincerely bring me before God, to talk to Jesus about me, and to listen to Jesus about me. Yes, and it filled my heart. I just want you to look at the next slide. What does it do for you if you receive one of those messages? How does it stir you? How does it sit with you? Especially when you need it, especially in times of trouble, especially in times of pressure. If you get a message to stop and to see someone took out time, spent time with Jesus, and prayed for you, how does it make you feel? What does it stir inside? And a few times this week, I was on the other side as well. You said promptings, and it happens with us the whole time. But this week I just noted it. I just took note of this. Someone prayed for me. This person prayed for me. The Lord invited me to pray for this person, to bring him before him. And it just stirred me. It made me feel, I felt so held. I felt so secure. I felt so, wow, because it's not going particularly difficult with me at the moment. I was so refreshed after the many long weekends. I felt so safe. I felt so part of something bigger. You know, my life doesn't just depend on my efforts, but really there is God and his community around me. I am held not just by my efforts, but by God's grace in loving people around me. I felt loved. Someone cares about me. Someone wants good for me. Love, to do good, to want good for someone. I felt loved. I felt cared for. I felt definitely not alone. You know, there were times in my life when I got a message like that and I'm like, just feels like a breath, like the pocket in aircraft, you know. Altitude's too high, I can't get enough breath, and this pocket feels, and like, suck it in. I just felt sustained because someone cares for me. Someone prays. God moves someone, because at times it feels as though, God, my prayers are not effective enough or not working enough. You know, we all get those moments. And like, God, I'm glad that someone else is also praying. Someone else is also praying. Supported. I felt confident. I felt like, wow, we're going somewhere, God. The desires in my heart, the things, the purposes that I feel you're calling me to, I feel we're going to get there. I feel we're moving forward. This is a transitionally difficult time we're going to move through, you know, because I'm optimistic, confident that this is going to work out well. Why? Because someone took time to pray for me. God hears us. God moves us. God stirs this person's heart. I felt hopeful. I felt faithful, full of faith, full of confidence, full of courage to actually move again. And I felt awe-filled, not awful, awe-filled, like inspired by worship of God. Wow, God. How big are you? How big is your community? Wow, God. Wow. Wow, God. You did this for me. You know, the only thing that makes this better, if I get a message like I met with Jesus this morning and we talked about you, the only thing better is the next slide. Is he said to me, dot, dot, dot. You get a message. I met with Jesus. I prayed for you. This is what he said for you. This is what I felt. This is what I noted. This is what the Lord showed me. You know, I've got a sense that, just that, I met with Jesus this morning. This is my message. This is what he said about you. How awesome is that? How awesome is that? So we're going to look at a psalm. You know, most of the psalms of David and of Asaph are their prayers praying to God. It's my prayer that I pray to God. But there's one psalm different in the Bible, and that's David recording a psalm because people prayed for him. It's the one psalm that is different in this sense, that it's a psalm of David, a song of David, a prayer, but this is not him. He wrote a song to remember the prayers that someone prayed in a particular point for him. And this is so cool. So this morning, serving one another on your knees brought me to Psalm 20. In times of trouble, I can't help wanting to sing that song, but I'm going to sing that song anyway. But in times of trouble, may Yahweh, may the Lord answer your cry. May the name of the God of Jacob keep you safe from all harm. May he send you help from his sanctuary and strengthen you from Jerusalem. May he remember all your gifts and look favorably on your burnt offerings. And then there was a guitar solo to help you think. It's a true story. Okay. It was a sitar. Anyway. May he grant you your heart's desires and make all your plans succeed. May we shout for joy when we hear of your victory and raise a victory banner in the name of our God. May the Lord answer all your prayers. This was the prayer that he recorded as David was about to go into war, as David was about to face his enemy. Victory over, you'll see the context a little bit later. But it was a prayer that they had a stopping a moment. They were going out into battle. There was an army that encamped against them, and David was about to make war. David was about to go to war. And David prayed to God, and he brought an offering to God, worship to God, saying, God, God of our father, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, we're going to pray. Will you help us? Will you give us success, God? Will you strengthen us? Will you protect us from all harm? And then everyone stopped, and they prayed for David. And David was so moved by the prayers that these people prayed for him that he wrote the song. And see the response on David's life. Now I know. This is everyone, we pray for you. May the Lord bless you. And then David just, at that moment, just hit him so hard. Now I know that Yahweh, my covenant God, rescues his anointed king. He will answer him from his holy heaven, and he will rescue him by his great power. See, some nations boast in their chariots and their horses. So obviously his enemy was slightly outnumbering him, technology. But we boast in the name of the Lord our God. Those nations will fall down and collapse, but we will rise up and we'll stand firm. Give victory to our king, O Lord. Answer our prayer for help. So this is one of those songs that the congregation sings and someone answers. But it's such a beautiful prayer for me. It's such a beautiful prayer about the motivation of this prayer, the stirring moment, the inspiration was David receiving prayers and being so encouraged in faith because someone's praying for me. Someone prayed for me. Not someone, it's like a whole army was praying. It's like he had a whole army of warriors praying for him, like in a real sense, not in a figurative sense. And it moved him. It stirred his heart and courage. And we're going to slowly look at this. Let's just start at the top again. Let's start at the very beginning. It's a very good place to start. Okay. I say, why was this psalm recorded? Why was this prayer prayed in times of trouble? It was a moment of crisis for David. But it's not just David's moment of courage, obvious problem. It is everyone's moment of trouble. They prayed for David, but everyone was in the same waters. Everyone had the same crisis. But someone took their time out not to pray for their salvation and their protection, but for him. They cared for him as well. They prayed for him. They recognized that he has a specific office, a specific anointing, a specific task, a specific purpose, and they prayed for him. God helped David to do David's thing. He needs to be courageous now. It's not going to look good if David crumbles under the pressure. It's not going to be good for the army. It's not going to be good for Jerusalem or Israel as a whole. So God, for your purposes, bless this man now. Give him strength. And then, and they prayed to whom? They prayed to Yahweh, their covenant God. Not just God, not just God, not the God, not the creator, but my covenant God, God who has bound himself to me forever. They reminded themselves that God of all creation has bound himself to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and his descendants forever. That God is eternally bound to Jerusalem and to Israel, to the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And that God is with them, binding himself to them. They prayed confidently. They reminded themselves in prayer that God said, I'll be with you always. I'll be with you. When you pray, I'll listen from this temple. Like that was the thing. And then may the name, and who prayed? This is the whole community, the friends of David, the people of David. David's kingship, David's friends, David's people, those who were on his side. Prayed, God of Jacob, God, you've been faithful, the faithful God for always. And what did he pray? And I just want you to see here. So you'll see the Hebraic poetry, the repetition, the intensification, focusing on a few things, repetition constantly. Times of trouble, harm. What does he need? Strength. He needs to be remembered, his faithfulness, and for his desires and his plan to succeed. Prayed, God, David has desires in his heart, and that's at the moment, God, for your name's sake and for our salvation's sake, he has purposes in his heart, and his purposes is for our well-being. God, will you help him for our sake? But help him, because he needs your strength. And it's amazing to me, if you just think about it. I mean, David is God's anointed, David's God's called, his chosen one, his beloved. I mean, God really likes David. But God works this way, that grace comes through prayer for a task. Even though he appointed David for this, David will always need God's help. And in this moment, David, in all his strength, needed the help of others. So that's why this prayer moved him so much. But the point, I just want you to focus on the big thing, is here, is verse 6. I just want to highlight it again. David recorded the psalm because this moment of the community praying for him and him becoming aware that they prayed for him encouraged him and turned him around in this moment. The strength, the grace, the help all came because he knows that someone's praying for me and God will answer. He was confident. Everything turned around for him. His fear changed to courage the moment that he realized God is with me, God is for me. How do I know this? Because these humans, they prayed for me. They prayed for me. They stopped their day, they took a moment and talked to the God of their fathers and said, God, help this man. This man needs your help. And everything changed for him. Confidence, strength. You won't really see it necessarily in the English so well, but on the slide you'll see the word victory. And the translations obviously messes it a little bit, but it's good words. He says victory, a banner of victory. It's amazing. As they prayed, they and the king, all of a sudden, they took their banners of victory into this defiance, banners of victory into this war. They knew the outcome of this war before they entered into this battle. Because they spoke to Yahweh, their covenant God, the God of Abraham, the God who's always been the God of Israel, the faithful God who always rescued them. And they knew it cognitively, but in praying, they saw, they met with God. And this is the message that they gave to David. And David had the same response. The word there, rescue, may the Lord rescue, is the same word victory. It's actually the name Yeshua, Jesus. It's just the name by which we know Jesus. Yeshua, victory, salvation. And it's amazing that they prayed and they had this banner. And figuratively or literal, I think it was literal in this sense, they took these banners of celebration, of victory, into the battle, knowing confidently that everything changed because they got help from heaven's armies. Next slide. I know it's the bottom of that slide. From holy, from the host of heaven. They got help from heaven. God is going to send his army. Remember that story of Elisha and his servant, and they were overwhelmed. There was a whole army encamping them. And his servant came to him and said, my master, can't you see the whole army is encamped around us? And Elisha smiled because he had a different perspective of life. He said, now just look closely, boy. Just look closely. I'm not freaked out. Why are you not freaked out? He says, more are those that are for us than those who are against us. And in the time of prayer, this is the image that David received. This is the image that they received. It's like, we prayed. There's an army. There's a battle. God's going to send his chariots of fire. I'm okay. Whether we see the chariots or not, I know God's grace. Help is literal. Help. God will send strength in battle. And it gave him confidence. He entered the battle not fearful, but confident. You might even say arrogant with the banners of defiance. We're going to face you, big army, with greater chariots and horses than we have. If you think chariots and horses, you might translate it today into tanks. What do we call these? Interballistic missiles, intercontinental ballistic missiles, nukes. Some trust in their nukes, in their jet fighters, in their big ships. We trust in Jesus. And it's easy to say that, but once you stand in front of a tank, a chariot, or a horse running, you know, it's intimidating. But this is what he said. He says, now I know that those who are with us, who are for us, is greater. Why? Because they prayed for me. Because they prayed for me. Great strength, great courage. It's amazing. And then it ends again with this cry. I'll give victory, our King, our Lord. Answer our cry for help. This nice New Living Translation, you can't really see it, but it links exactly. In times of trouble, we cry to the Lord, and he answer us, Lord. And it ends again in our victory. Save, Lord. Answer our cry for prayer. It's beautiful. Really beautiful, really, really beautiful, the confidence. And this is the one thing. The psalm was recorded not because David had a crisis. The psalm was recorded because people recognized David had a crisis. They prayed for him, and this inspired him big time. And reading the psalm this week, you know, just it helped me just to feel, I felt this week. The messages, two messages I received from people praying for me, a few messages, I reframed how I look at the messages that I send to people because I prayed for them. It's the same sense. God stirs our hearts when someone goes through something, simply to give a message and saying, the Lord knows about your situation. He knows he's sending help. He will strengthen, he'll protect you from harm. He'll rescue you. The Lord knows. God knows about you. You will not be overwhelmed. Be confident, be encouraged, because the Lord knows and he will give you success. So, mirror to our world, we all face these challenges. Everyone, and I love it. David had a crisis. It was too big for him. It's amazing. I like saying that every now and then. David fell for temptation. I like saying that every now and then. I just like it because Jesus likes him. He's a man after his own heart. It just helps saying that. I'm not alone. David had a crisis. David was tempted. David messed up badly. I just like saying that. We all face challenges. David had a challenge which was too big for him. And this great king obviously had a moment where people could recognize that this great king was under tremendous pressure. People could see it. So they prayed because we want our leader to be strong. We need our leader to be strong. Jesus, help our leader. He's not strong at the moment. Beautiful. We're deeply connected to one another. I can see it in this text. I can see in our world. My life, my success, my grace. David was an anointed, called, loved leader from God who established Israel as one tribe, as one kingdom. He was a great guy. But someone slaughtered that animal when they were praying out there in the field on that altar. There was a priest, probably a high priest, but there was a priest who did this, who was anointed for his job. There was a captain of the army. There were cooks, you know. Someone tended to that sheep that they slaughtered. Everyone had their function that brought them to there. Someone made the spears. Someone communicated. Someone was the messenger that brought all these people together for war. Everyone had their little function. We're looking at one person, one king, and the army around him. But everyone has their function, and the success of this battle is not dependent only on David, but on everyone around him. But he had his function. He had his grace. He was separated for something. And everyone prayed because God, for our salvation's sake, help the king do his thing today. Help the king do his thing today. God, for our salvation's sake, help the chef do his thing today. Because we get runny tummies on the battle, it's over. It's gone. It's vorbei. It's over. So I just want you to see the interconnectedness, the well-being of their victory. We are deeply connected. His joyful victory is our joyful victory. Everyone gets that. And then we are strengthened in faith and courage and hope and confidence by each other. God designed us to be like that. So many times in the Bible we hear the instruction, encourage one another, bless one another, support one another, love one another, bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. There is a deep interconnectedness. I know that our society is extremely individualistic, ironically. We're individualistic. I want to be independent of myself. I want to, as soon as possible, be independent. I want to save my money so I can be independent. I can have my independent income without doing it. You know, we were everything we want to. I want to be self-sustained. God strongly resists our urge to be independent because it's not good for us. How do we know that? Because of our heightened anxiety and heightened loneliness, isolation. We want to be independent, but be deeply connected. Doesn't work that way. So this is one of those prayers where we see David, this great mighty king, so aware of God's grace coming to him through these people that he was supposed to lead. Help comes from their prayers. That's why I was motivated. It's the same for us. We are deeply connected, encouraged. So let's look at a few lessons. How does this text show us something about God's grace and something about his kingdom? David faced a challenge that was too big for him, even though he was anointed and called for it. He faced something too big, but he was the only one who was supposed to do that. We know this in our lives. Something you face, something too big for you. I want to speak to parents that struggle with a child that has a problem that they don't seem to be able to handle. I'm going to speak to young people who face something where they go like, this is unfair, God. I don't have what it takes. I want to, but there's a deep sense of anxiety on the inside because this is too big for me. I'm going to speak to people who face a professional problem or a business solution problem or engineering feat or class of a teacher. If your class is just way too big for you, you can't handle the situation, it's too big for you. The nice thing is, David faced a challenge that was so big for him, and God's response is raising an army of prayers for him. God's response is, I know this. I know this. You know, often in my ministerial career and my parenting, actually just the times I pray, God, will you raise people to pray for me now? Please, I need help. I can't do this. I don't know how to do this. Sometimes I would ask people to pray. Other times I would ask people to pray and pray that God would raise people to pray for me because of this principle. Others need your prayer. Other people need your prayer. For those of us so overwhelmed by your own situation, just want to say that the Bible says, in this case, others need your prayer for the well-being of everyone, but for their well-being as well. Their prayers stir David's faith in God. I know this from this week and from personal experience. It's beautiful. Your prayers renew faith of people in God. David was there. David was offering his prayer to God, offering and offering Old Testament. He was sincerely worshiping God in front of this battle. But apparently, he really needed strength and he really needed courage. He needed faith. But because of the people's prayers, David's faith was heightened. Your prayers heighten people's awareness that God is real. God hears and God loves. Your prayers heighten the awareness that God is present. See God present. Because they see your crisis from a different angle. They are aware, but they don't feel the weight, but they can see the weight. So it's easy for them to pray, God help. And it's amazing. There, the army's prayers stirred courage for battle. Not just that God is with me, but I can do this. Let's do this. I can do this. Action stirs action. moves from, because we all know that anxiety and fear, what does it do? It just makes me step away from the vehicle for a while. You're going to engage, you have to engage, but if someone is a confident rugby player, you can see it on the team because he's the guy that runs first and tackles the hardest. If someone is cautious, he will only tackle when it needs to. And then he's going to tackle with a bit of a, for those of you ladies who don't know the rugby thing, I don't know what other analogy. Look at the people, how they drive around you. Confident people drive aggressively. Cautious people just slow down, you know, at the intersections and stuff. But the point is, your prayers bring courage. These people's prayers brought courage to David. He was going into the battle, very, and the next one, confident. Not just courageous, but confident. Not just fearless, but also expecting the good outcome. Expecting it. He was very confident that they're going to win. They had their banners of victory with them. They took it into the battle. They knew that this is a battle. It's going to be a real battle, but I know that I'm passing. It's like writing an exam, but your predicate already secured your victory. It's like you're going to write it, but it takes the pressure off. You still want to do well, but it takes the pressure off. You're not going to lose this one. It's fine. It's the same thing here. Their prayers stirred the confidence that they know that this is going to win. Next one, in praying for David, these people showed love, support to David. Their prayers stirred love. It was an expression of their love. They cared. They cared about David. They cared about David's purpose, but they cared about David. Their prayers was moments, was action of love. I'm going to set this time aside and pray to God because God, I really love this man and I want it to be well with him. I want him to be successful. I want him that you give him his desire, heart's desires that they prayed. In praying for David, they served God's kingdom purposes. They knew that they prayed for God, but David had a specific office that he needed to fulfill. And this is beautiful. They partnered with God. Their support of David was the support of God's kingdom. Very practical. The support of David was the support of David's kingdom. God, David is my king. God, for your sake, let the kingly office be successful to bring peace in the kingdom. Smoy. They could pray for the chef. They could pray for the guy who makes the battle armor. They could pray for everyone else. Everyone else had their thing. But this moment was a recording about the king needing to be courageous in leading his army into battle. And the king can do that. No one else can. It's the king's job. So God, for your sake, bless this man. Let your kingdom come. Let David succeed. In praying for David, they unleashed the heavenly power to overthrow the enemy. The reason why they were secure and confident into this battle is because they knew that God heard and God is unleashing an army in heaven. That phrase that they're saying, God of heaven, with your great power, send help, rescue. They knew that God heard. They prayed until they knew that God heard and that God was sending an heavenly army to help them. People, we are an extremely, ironically, extremely pragmatic people. We know how medicine works. We know how finances work. We know how security systems work. We know how politics work. We know how our laws work. We can wield our way, manage our way. I'm not saying they didn't. I'm saying your prayers unleash heaven's power. Someone sick, pray. Someone need help, pray. Bear one another's burden, pray. God is the God who answers. He answers because of heaven's power. He unleashes heaven's power. When you pray with a sincere heart and faith, God answers the prayer of that person. God answers. God helps. Your prayers has power. It brings real life transformation. It changes the way of the current. We've got stories. We've all got stories in our lives. We should tell those stories. But something was in crisis. We prayed. Oh, I don't know how, but the situation was diffused and God changed something. Sometimes it's an external problem or an internal problem, or in this case, it's both linked. David is intimidated. David is fearful. This is too big for him. He is a militant, confident battle guy. He's a warrior. But he can see the odds, their chariots and their horses are more than ours. It's a groot problem. Internal problem and an external problem. And God changed both. Faith and confidence, I'm with you. Heaven's armies, let's do this. Poof, change it. But the prayer was the thing that changed everything, yeah. And that's why I recorded this prayer as a memory forever. This became an inauguration, a coronation song, which they afterwards sang to every single king in Israel. Every single time. This moment was a real moment. This became a coronation song. A song when the king is crowned, the Israelites around him would gather and they would sing. In times of trouble, may God hear you. May God see you. May God send help from his sanctuary, from his holy hill. May God send heavenly armies to you to secure you and to help you. And then the king would say, now I know that God saves his anointed king. I know it. Why? Because you pray for me. In England, there's a similar tradition. God saves the king. God save her. This is a song that it comes from. Beautiful. So, invitation to me, invitation to you. Very simple message this morning. Invitation. I met with Jesus this morning. We talked about you. I want to invite, I want you to think and remember a moment in your life when someone sent a message similar like to this. Maybe they just sent a text. Maybe they said, listen, I'm praying for you. Maybe they said, I'm thinking about you. I just want to say this to my friends out there. Don't think about me. Pray for me. And we should say this to one another. If you constantly pop in my head, pray. So what I do these days, I just send, listen, you're in my head the whole time. How are you doing? So I can get an answer to know how to pray for you. Very simple. But don't stop thinking. Start praying. Okay. So I met with Jesus. And this is what they prayed in the psalm. Safety and strength, favor and faith, heart's desire, wisdom for a situation, victory and success over darkness. This is essentially what they prayed for him. But they prayed for his well-being and for his grace, recognizing that this person is gifted and called to God for something. And God, we pray that he will be well, and what he does, he will do well. That shalom, that peace may come to everyone, that he may not fail under the pressure, that he may not back down because of the intimidation. God, I pray that you will strengthen him or her in courage, and I pray that you will grant them success. Because God, if it goes well with them, it goes well with me. It goes well with us. We seek the peace of the city, that shalom comes as everyone finds their role and finds their part. And this is what we're praying. So we're going to pray. I'm going to ask the worship team to please come forward. We'll pray. I'm going to ask the ushers to be ready. We're going to hand out communion this morning. Maybe just the next slide. So as part of the prayer walk, the part of the D4J campaign, I mentioned it earlier. This week we'll support and love the police, hospitals. We'll do well in those things. As a church, we're going to ESCOM offices around the corner. Amen. We know that, working, it's really pressure. It's a lot of work. I'm looking at some people in this building working for ESCOM as well. We'll come to you with a cupcake. But the cupcake will have a flag and saying, listen, I give you a cupcake for something sweet and strength, but to know that we love you. But I want to say that we're praying for you. We're praying for you that you will not buckle under the pressure. We pray that it may be well with you. We pray that you and your house will experience peace, that you will confidently do your work, and that God will give you wisdom and strength to solve this crisis. Thank you for your work. We recognize your role. May God bless you. May it be well with you. May you be successful in everything you do. Very practical. Your neighbor will be strengthened by someone knowing that you prayed. And many of you don't know your neighbors in your block. It's not an accusation. We don't know, you know? But it was the idea is really just that you sincerely pray around your block. Walk around your block and pray for the people who live there. Pray. If you know their names, it's better. If you don't know their names, don't be weird. Don't all 20 in the small group pray in tongues and pour oil on the gates, light candles. Don't do weird stuff, okay? We believe in the anointing. We also recognize that you can freak someone out big time. So be nice. Smile. You'll see also that there's no Shofar's name on here. Not one of these banners have the church. It's the church in Durbanville. We are part of the church in Durbanville. We're going to pray for you. So this is not this week, but next week. We as a church will pray next week, but we want to invite you to actually walk your block, to pray for the people. But you don't just need to walk the block and pray for someone. If you know of someone in your small group at work, just take a moment and set time aside. And I know that everyone has a crisis, and you'll probably need 100 hours to pray for everyone that you're aware of that is going through something tough. But Jesus said, listen, inasmuch as you've done it to one of the least of these, you've done it for me. Inasmuch as you pray for one person, inasmuch as you show kindness to one person, Jesus says, I'm taking that serious. It's as though you do it for me, because I appoint this person for this office. And he's also on my heart. She's also on my heart. And you're going to talk to Jesus about that one person and just pray. And what are you praying? Well, you can pray if you accurately know, but if you don't know, then this is a good psalm. It's generic. Times of trouble, I pray that there'll be no harm, that you'll be safe, that you'll be well, that God will give you the desires of your heart, that God will grant you success, that God will send forth heaven's armies and bail you out. God, we pray for you. But mostly we pray that he will strengthen you in your heart, that he will grant you strength and courage and awareness, that you will see, that you'll take up these victory flags and walk around knowing that, ah, Jesus is going to bail me out of this one as well. Amen. Can we do that? So, as the worship team just plays softly, I want to invite the ushers to hand out communion. And we're going to celebrate the fact that we are loved and accepted and bought by God through the blood of his son. We are his. We belong together. We are his family. We are not alone in this world. And that the Lord came and saved us by entering into our pain at some point, and he will do it again. He will do it again. So as we take communion, I want to invite you to, if you feel comfortable, just to turn your chairs. The three or four of you can just pray together. And then after that, after breaking bread, I want you to take a moment and just pray, maybe pray for one person in your group together. That God will send help, strength, love. God will bless this one person. Can we do that? Amen. Break bread, pray for the one person, and we'll close in prayer. You're really welcome. Just to someone can just lead the breaking of bread and pray, and then the rest can pray together. Amen. As you're closing up your prayer time, you're welcome just to worship us. For those of you continuing to pray, you're welcome. God bless you.